Good. So keep your Bibles open at Acts chapter 3. And we're going to be looking into this. This is our final paraclesis session. Just for those of you who have just joined us, maybe visiting for today, we've been going through a series of six mornings and also using a manual. We've been looking each day as well at the subject of, it's called paraclesis, which really is a Greek word that really means coming alongside. Coming alongside one another. It's about bringing a culture of care in our church family, and that is so important. For me, this really matters. It matters so much. It's, I would long and love, and I know sometimes we have series that come and go, and talks come and go, and we move on to other things and so on, but my heart is that we never move on from this. Never, ever. We're always growing care. We're always growing in compassion and kindness and journeying together. We are on a journey together of the kingdom of God. We're disciples of Jesus, and it's so important. It really matters. And next week, we won't be using our manuals, but next week I would like to lead us a little bit further in thinking about how we can follow on and not lose the gold that we've received over these last few weeks. And as we thought about journeying together, we want to continue. So I'll be doing that a bit next week. One of the quotes I loved from the manual, using it, the daily manual from this week, was J.H. Jarrett, who said, "God does not comfort us to make us comfortable, but to make us comforters." And I think that's powerful. I think that's what this whole thing's about. He comforts us, not just so we can be fine and dandy, but so we can take that comfort and minister that comfort to other people, because we're all on this journey of life, and it's tough. It can be a hard road, and we need to journey together. We need to come alongside one another in doing that. We've looked over these past weeks at the Good Samaritan encouragement. We've looked at the feeding of the 5,000, where we spoke about building a culture of care in our church here. We've looked at the Emmaus Road, and we spoke about consolation. We've looked at loving and the Pool of Bethesda, how we can exhort people, and that's calling people into that place of encouragement and comfort. And we looked last week at healing and how this word parakleo can be translated differently in these different contexts, whether it's caring, loving, journeying, living, healing, and so on. Today's word, we're going to be looking at this passage about the man at the gate, beautiful, and the word is connecting. And this word, paraklesis, parakleo, it's about connecting and entreating together. This not only connecting with one another as a church, but also for us to take what God gives us here, and that we minister that and bring that wherever we are. That people out in the community and in the workplace, neighbors, friends, people that you know, because not only do we face difficult roads in life, but if you're not at the moment, someone you know is. And in any kind of way, people can need other people to come alongside them. And they may not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, but that's what we're called to do, to connect. So we care by connecting. Romans 15 says, each one of us needs to look after the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? That's Romans 15:2 in the Message translation. And the challenge for us is, will we connect our journey with those needs that are around us? And that's what this Acts 3 passage is about. Just before I get onto the Acts 3 passage, just to set a little bit of context here and some background, so when we come back to it in a few minutes, it will make more sense. I just want to cause us to think about this word, to entreat. In Luke 15, in the prodigal son story, you remember the prodigal son story where the younger son goes away, and then he comes back home. He's welcomed home by his father. But the elder brother is angry, and he goes outside the home. And we read in verse Luke 15:28, he was angry and he would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him, Paracleo, there's the word again. It's all through the Bible. And it's in a slightly different sense this time. Paraklesis is like the word love in Scripture. The Greek word paracleo or paraklesis or parakletos is one Greek word, but it means different things, like the word love does. We've only got one word in English for it, but it means a lot of different things. And one of the meanings of this word is to entreat. And that's what the Father did when he was entreating the Son. Come back in. Come back in. We want you to come into the party. We don't want you out here. That was the elder brother. And God wants us to entreat others outside the family of God as part of our paraklesis. To entreat, in your manuals, you'll see it says to approach, to reach out, to connect, to draw close, to engage with others. And I love this word, connect. I felt strongly about this connect word for a while, to do with us as a church and to do with us as a community. I think it's a significant word for us. We're called to really connect with one another and with the community that we're part of. And communities, not one community. We're all part of a whole network of communities, aren't we? We are called to connect. We're called as disciples of Jesus to take that step from kind of being an observer to taking responsibility for the relationships around us, for the people that we know, whether it's your life group or your street, your workplace, or wherever you are, to make the kingdom connections, to make Jesus connections with where people are at and where God is calling them, God's word and what God wants for them. And that's what this kind of sense of entreating is about, is this kind of calling people in, connecting with people. So Jesus gave us, as we know, the Great Commission, Matthew 28, the go into all the world and preach the good news. That's what Sam and Anna are partly responding to in that fresh sense of go for them. Jesus also gave us the great commandment to love one another as I have loved you. But also there's a sense here of a great connection. And you see from John chapter 20, verse 21 and 22, Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And Jesus came from heaven to earth. He came into our mess. He came into our sinful world. Perfect Son of God, sinless, the Son of God, into our sinful mess. And he's saying now, as the Father sent me, so I send you. So we are called also to go and to meet other people in their issues, in their difficulties, in their place of need, whatever that need may be. We are meant to go into their place of need and be like Jesus. As the Father sent me, so I send you. This great connection, not to run away from other people's needs, but to run towards them with the Lord Jesus Christ. We care by connecting. And this is recognizing a felt need and intentionally engaging with it. It's about joining someone else's journey. It's about understanding their story and reaching out and doing something about it. And I think that happens a lot already here. I see that. It's not that we're not doing it. I think it is already happening a lot, but I pray that it would happen more and more, where we enter someone else's world and we really care about them in their place. And then we seek to bring them to Jesus, who's the one who can meet their need. And this is why. So we'll start, we talk about engaging with felt needs. How do we do this? The key thing here, you know, in John 14:6, Jesus said, John 14:16, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper, another parakletos. Now, it's interesting here. Just stay with me for a minute. I'm going to draw these strands together. The other parakletos, do you remember how we said back when Jesus was presented at the temple with Simeon? And Simeon, one of the words that Simeon used of him, that he was to be the consolation of Israel. And that word consolation is the word parakleo. And here it's the same root word, because Jesus says, I'm going to send you another parakletos. So in other words, the disciples have had Jesus with them throughout all their ministry, the 3 years that they had together, they had Jesus with them. And we cannot, as I'm calling us in the Great Commission and the Great Commandment and the Great Connection, we can't do that in our own strength, can we? Sometimes we can barely sort ourselves out, let alone helping other people. We can't do it in our own strength. We need another Paracletos. We need another helper, a comforter, one. Remember, this word means one who comes alongside us, and that's what God does. This word, another. Jesus said, "I will send you another comforter, the Holy Spirit." So the Holy Spirit comes alongside you and me, and more than that, He comes alongside us by filling us. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. This is why it's really important. And the message of being filled with the Spirit is not the cherry on the cake. That is the cake. It is the Christian life to be filled with the Spirit, because we need the power of the Holy Spirit in order to love others. And Jesus said, "You will receive power in Acts 1:8 when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. For what purpose? And you'll be witnesses unto me." And if we receive the Holy Spirit, that we're given power to be a witness. What does a witness do? So if you're in a court of law, what do you have to do as a witness? Tell your story. You have to tell your story. You share, "This is what I have experienced, and I'm telling you. I'm sharing it with you. I'm giving you my story, and I'm a witness." And that is what we are called to do, is to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to tell our story and give the gift of our journey to others. And it is a gift. It may be messy. It may be vulnerable. It may have bits in it we're not proud of. It may have things that we'd, you know, struggle with. But actually, it is a tremendous gift. I wonder sometimes if we know how much we can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, help other people. For example, if you have been through grief and someone around you is experiencing grief, and it might be difficult for you to share about that grief, but it's so powerful to come alongside someone else in their grief, not to take over with your story, but just to come alongside them and say, "I found it hard. When I was grieving, I struggled. I shouted at God. I stamped about and walked, you know, struggled with it." And that really helps other people in their journey to know that they're not alone, to know that there's other people, other Christians, who walked that way before them. It's a tremendous gift that we all have. It might be 1,000 different stories that we might share about many different issues that we face. But that's what we've got. And so what does sharing this story mean? For example, let me show you quickly. In John's Gospel, Jesus met with the woman at the well. Do you remember that in John chapter 4? And Jesus started with the woman at the well with her felt need. What was it that she was conscious of in John chapter 4? Do you remember the story where she was a woman who was kind of ostracized? She was an outcast, but Jesus came and just sat with her at the well, and he what he did was, actually, remember that word we're using this morning, entreated. He kind of entreated her. He connected with her. And what did he talk to her about in the beginning? Did he kind of give her the benefit of his nugget of golden wisdom? You know, you're sitting next to the Son of God at the well. No, she was there to draw water, so Jesus talked to her about water. It wasn't that profound. He just engaged her on that level. He connected with her at the point of her need. And then the felt need is the conscious need. If you're filling in your manual there, just so you know. Some of you are looking at your manual. I'm trying to help you out. I think, has it come up? Can we move on the... to help those who are filling out, otherwise it'll be a holy mystery what that word was going to be. And we like to debunk mysteries here. Then felt need is the conscious need. And people have needs that they're aware of all around us. And my question is, have you ever felt the need to care about what someone else cares about? What do they care about? What's on their agenda? To start with that, enough to connect with them and to care for them. And then Jesus addressed the felt need, and he did this all the time. You know, for example, when he was feeding the 5,000, he fed them. When you have the men on the road to Emmaus, Jesus addresses their kind of brokenness. He addresses them at the point of their need. At the wedding at Cana, what does he do? He gives them wine. That's the need. You know, not, they didn't give them a sermon, he gave them wine. Interesting. And it's about connecting in the ordinary things of life with people. Jesus was good at this. He connected with people in the ordinary situations they were in. And he recognized the felt need. How are we doing at that sometimes? You know, do we see, sometimes it's like right in front of you, like the nose on your face, there's a need. And sometimes we just go past that need. And people don't know we care about them. That's what things like, you know, just things like Food Bank do that. Job Club do that. They see there's a need. And they address people at the point of the need. We have to feed people. People need jobs. That's just a couple of examples. And we can do that in different ways with the people who are around us. And then also the felt need leads to the real need. It wasn't long when Jesus was with this woman talking about water that he began to talk to her about real thirst. Real thirst, true worship. And he really got into the meat of she began to realize that she was encountering something amazing. And she realized that she was encountering the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. And this felt need leads to the real need, and we realize that the real need that people have is the gospel. The real need that people have is to come to Christ and ask for that forgiveness of sins and ask for that peace with God, to get right with God. We want people to, yes, have their immediate needs cared for, but the biggest need of all is the need for their soul to be saved and for them to come to, by faith, but through the cross, through repentance and faith, to come to Christ as Savior and Lord. That's the biggest need that people have. But first, we start by connecting with real needs. So turn back with Acts chapter 3, and we're going to apply this to what we've seen in Acts chapter 3. And the reason is, one of the exciting things about Acts 3 is that Jesus isn't around. This is now... Each time we've done it, one of these mornings, it's always generally been taken from a gospel story where Jesus did it. So how does it work now when Jesus has ascended and gone to heaven and the disciples are the ones doing it? Let's see how it goes for them. So they're coming. It says in Acts 3 verse 1, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. So that would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They were off to the prayer meeting. Notice. Yes, the prayer meeting. I love prayer meetings. Come to the prayer meeting. That was for free, you know. Just, it wasn't in the notes. Trevor Partridge didn't have that one. That was me. But it's understanding the story here. Understanding this story. This was a man. It says in verse 2, Acts 3, verse 2, a certain man. Lame from his mother's womb. For over 40 years, he had suffered severe disability. It's a congenital disease that he suffers from. But there's something even worse than that that is going on for this man. He's also marginalized by religion. Because where do we find him? It says in Acts 3, verse 2, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. So here's the man at the gate of the temple. He's on the wrong side of the temple because according to the custom and the law at that time, because he had a severe disability, he wasn't allowed into the temple. That's sad, isn't it? So he was on the other side and he was asking for alms and just asking for money. And people would come along and Perhaps people who wanted to think, oh, well, if I go into the temple, I just want to please God, so I'll chuck a few coins in his direction to kind of ease their own conscience or something. And that should make us pause and think, you know, when we help people in need, we're not there to just ease our own conscience. I don't think this man had met, well, it doesn't say, but it sounds like he hadn't met many people who genuinely cared about him. Sounds like he mostly got kind of anonymous chucking in of coppers into his hat. So he was marginalized by religion, and he was also dependent on others. His felt need was money. That was the place of his conscious need. That's what he was there for, to collect alms, and he was completely dependent upon other people. And if, sadly, that cycle of dependency would never have been broken, would it? Because nobody was caring kind of enough for him to help him out of that cycle of dependency. You could call it toxic charity, I suppose, as some people have called it, because there was, he'd been there for years and years and years, and his situation was not changing. We don't only just want to give money to people and forget them. That's not always caring for them. Sometimes the need is for money, and we should give money where the need is for money. That's fine. But we also don't want to keep people in their prison of dependency either. We want to raise people up. That's caring for people and helping people. So this here is where Peter and John arrive. And they are people of a new kingdom. They're people who are not going to see things in the way that everyone else did. These are men who had journeyed with Jesus. They had seen Jesus meet someone at the point of their felt need, but take them to a whole new place and not leave them there. And so what are Peter and John going to do? It's fascinating. It was an opportunity for them to connect with this man. And Peter and John were connected. If you've got your manuals, get ready. Okay? They were connected to a caring community. Do you know the church has something nobody else has got? There are other places that care, but we care empowered by the Holy Spirit. We care with the backup of Almighty God. We care with the Spirit of God who can work in us to do transformation. We don't just do kind of social change, we do transformation by the power of the Spirit. It's powerful. So these men were connected to a caring community, and that's part of it. We don't just do this in isolation. We do it together. We journey together, and everybody that you care for, we're part of it, and we can draw one another in. That early church was a church where people really gave to each other. They committed massively to one another in the early church. That's why we need to be that sort of community. And I suppose that's why the Bible says, you know, it begins in the house of God. We begin this journey by loving each other really well, because that's where we learn to love. And that's where we want to be, this healthy community where we do care. But then from this community, we go out. And we know that we're not alone in that. And we go out and we care about others as well. So Peter and John were also, they were connected with the paralyzed man. It says in verse 4, fixing their eyes on him, they said, "Look at us." So here they came along and they connected with him. They looked at him with eyes of compassion and grace and truth. They were entreating him. And they were looking at him with his need, which was for money. Now, the interesting thing is here, they didn't have any money. Even if they had some coppers, they didn't have any. They said, "Silver and gold have I none." But they didn't just say, "Well, we've got no money, off we go to the prayer meeting." They said, look at us. We are interested in you. We care about you. We're not just going to flick a coin, even if we had one. We want to engage with you, connect with you. It's like, no, we want to, putting it in another way, it didn't quite say this, but it's like, we want to know your name. We want to know who you are. We're interested in you. People are not projects. People are people that God loves, that Jesus died for, that he wants to bring to himself. Every broken person in our community is powerfully significant to God. Enough, so much so that Jesus would come from heaven to earth and die on the cross for them. And that's how we should treat people, with dignity, with love, with care, and this entreating and connection. That's what we want. That love, the love that Jesus had, kind of that gut love that would spring out from our hearts towards people in need. So they connected with the paralyzed man. They connected with his felt need. It says in verse 5, Acts 3, 5, so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. He didn't bargain what he was going to get. He thought he was going to get money. But because Peter and John had been journeying with Jesus, they cared about him, which was really part of his need. And they also then came and met him in his real need, his deeper need, his spiritual need. So there's something for us about holding, yes, we want to meet people in social need and in spiritual need. The social and the soul, both together, are so important. If you miss one, you've missed it. We want to meet, William Booth once said, nobody wants to know they can get saved if they've got toothache. We have to actually help people in their need. Feed them, care for them, weep with them, come alongside them, talk to them, listen to them, give them time, give them space, give them what they, in some way or some form, care for them. And then share Jesus with them. Verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That's pretty bold, isn't it? What a statement. What a prayer. He didn't take 10 minutes of prayer ministry time, did he? Interesting. He just did it. It's amazing, and it's so Jesus. It's so like Jesus. It's exactly the sort of thing Jesus would have done, isn't it? I'm caring about you. I haven't got your felt need, but I've got your real need. Stand up in the name of Jesus. You need Jesus. We're here. We've journeyed with Jesus. We've got Jesus. Come to Jesus. So we share this gift of journey. Peter and John were making themselves available to God, as so often we see in Scripture. Jesus was available. These apostles were available. At any moment, they were like loose change in God's pocket, where they're just there and you can spend it. That is brilliant, isn't it? I love this. They were willing to connect where the connection came about. It wasn't planned. It was spontaneous, but they were ready for it. They took the opportunity. And look here where it says, verse 6, such as I have, I give you. Such as I have. See, what Peter and John had was their journey with Jesus. And remember, this is Peter the denier. This is Peter who looked at one point like he thought he was a failure. He thought he was out because he denied Jesus at the very point of Jesus' trial and death. Jesus had restored Peter on the beach after his resurrection, and now look at Peter go. Look at him. He's journeyed with Jesus. And you and I, if we know the Lord Jesus, have journeyed with Jesus. You've got a story. You've got a testimony of and that whatever your story is, that's your gift of journey. It's your life experience. It's what God has done for you. What has God done for you? What has he done in your life? It could be small, it could be big, it's fine. It's really about how God wants to use you and making your journey available to someone else. I think that's really exciting. If I look out and think, like, how many of us, you know, we love the Lord, we want to serve God. We want to do all these things, and it's so simple. It's not complicated. We know people, don't we? We've all got a story, and we've all seen God do something, if we know the Lord. It may be small, it may be big. But how can you take from your journey with Jesus and share it with someone else? It's really exciting. I was talking to somebody who came to one of our Hope Suppers, the last Hope Supper, actually. And this lady, dear lady, who's amazing, said that she sat at the table, and all we really do is sit at tables and talk to each other. There's a little epilogue, but we just talk to each other, Christians and people who are not yet Christians talking to each other. And this lady said that this was the first time she had experienced joy for the last 2 years. And I just thought, there it is. And she knows it's about Jesus. And that's what we're doing. We're connecting in ordinary but supernatural, ordinary but extraordinary ways with people. I don't think we realize what amazing potential there is in sharing a simple story, in sharing a simple journey with other people. Many, you know, if you think back to your journey and how people have come alongside you and the difference it made. It might have been a simple word of encouragement. It may have been a text. It may have been someone just coming alongside and putting their arm around you and saying, keep going. Something so simple could be, but do that for someone else and do that for one another. So don't look at what you don't have. Don't look at your limitations. Look at Jesus. Realize what you do have. Recognize the such. So when Peter said, such as I have, I give to you. What is your such? What is it? What has God given you in your story? Recognize what you do have and embrace that with certainty. God has given you this gift to give away to someone else. And all you need to do is be available and then do it. You have a story to tell. Someone said your test becomes your testimony. And that's what it's about. It's not sharing all the good bits only. You can share everything. You can share the other bits too. You can share the struggles. You can share the pain and the loss and the journey of that. And that will really be gold to someone else. Sometimes we want to hide away the difficult bits of our stories, but actually, that's where we can start boasting about Jesus. That's when God's glory flows through his people, because he gets all the glory for transformed lives through brokenness. And it means something to someone else then. So we're empowered in Jesus' name. In verse 6, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And it's in his name, the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus. It's as we embrace our journey, but it's as we know the power of his name. His name is such a beautiful name, the name of Jesus. We want to speak out the name of Jesus. Sometimes I do wonder, and I feel this too, and I think often in churches today, people are almost afraid to use the name of Jesus. They're willing to talk about faith and church and God and all everything else, but I think we should be using the name of Jesus more. There's no magic in it. I don't mean it from that point of view. But just because, isn't it true that he is the one? It's Jesus. It's Jesus that brings he's the way, the truth, and the life. I can't meet anybody's real needs. Peter didn't even have his felt needs that he could meet. He had no money. But he did have Jesus. And so we want to love that beautiful, powerful, wonderful name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. It's not from Peter or Paul. There's nothing about them. It's all from Christ. And what a beautiful picture that is for us today. It's all from Jesus. Anything anybody gets from us will be because of him. It's because there's another Paracletos that's come and helping us, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit loves to point to Jesus. And so you'll be amazed how people will be touched, changed, and transformed when you and I make ourselves available to God and we can share our story. And you don't have to just do it in church, and you don't have to prepare for 3 weeks for it. You just have to share it. You just have to be willing. So the last thing, let's conclude. Peter and John, their final actions, they gave him a hand up, not a hand out. They took him by verse 7 and 8. They took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle received strength. And so he leapt up, stood up, and entered the temple with them. It's good, isn't it? Walking and leaping and praising God. What a transformation. We could take a good lesson out of his book. And this is what happens to someone who's touched by Jesus. Walking and leaping and praising God. You almost want to go into that song, don't you? You know the song? Anyway, I won't, don't worry. Thank you. Who said thank you? Oh, it's a tough crowd, tough crowd. So took him by the right hand, helped him up. You see, it wasn't just like standing there, you know, come on, in the name of Jesus, get up. They went down into the right down with him, took him by the hand, lifted him up. This is faith in action. You don't just speak out a word of faith. You go down and you put it into practice. That is real faith. People can say anything they like, but real faith is action. Faith is concrete. And that's what they were doing. They put the hand down to him, picked him up. You see what beautiful thing that God has done in this man's life. He was outside the temple. He was ostracized. He was marginalized. Now he's in the temple, jumping about and praising God. And then what everybody would have seen what a tremendous difference Jesus made. They grasped the connecting opportunity. And is that what we're up for? I really hope it is, because if it is, this place would go kaboom. This place would go spiritually in a good way. We would grow like there's no tomorrow. We would see people coming to faith all over the place, in your workplace, in your schools, hospitals, you name it. Wherever you go, that's why the Bible says wherever you place, you set your foot on the ground, God will give it to you. We just have to be in the mindset of kingdom, and we're Jesus people, and we are broken. But actually, do you know what? The devil would like you to think your brokenness is like a fault or a problem or a failure. And actually, Jesus is saying it isn't. It actually qualifies you to do this. It means you've got a story. Anybody here who's walking around perfect, I'm sorry to say, you haven't got a story. You can't do this. So all of us who are broken and in need, we get included and invited here, which is wonderful, isn't it? Grasp the opportunity. So let's just finish with, we started this series saying, who cares? Who cares? Who cares about one another? Who cares about this world that we live in? And I hope and pray that we can say, I care. We care. We're willing to care. We're willing to take responsibility. We're willing to put actions behind our words. We're not just hearers only of God's word. We are doers of it. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Do it. That's what the Bible says. So let's be encouraged. And I want to give everybody another one of those kindness cards today, because it's a little way. If you're thinking, you know, okay, I'm just not sure. How do I take it? You know, just do what the kindness card says. Take the opportunity and see what God does. And don't worry if you mess it up. Just start again. There's no other way for it. Amen? So I'd love to pray for us. And maybe we could stand as we're closing now. If you're able to stand. If you're not able, please don't worry about it. Keep your seat. I would love to pray. And Father, if you have this desire in you to be a connecting person, to be someone who takes responsibility for the story God's given you, and someone who says, I am not going to sit on my story, I'm going to make it available to God. I'm going to put it out there when God calls me to, when the opportunity arises. If you're saying yes to that, just put your hands out in front of you as a way of saying, God, I'm in. I am in. And so, Father, you see my brothers and sisters today. And, Father, we want to be in. And we want to see the things that Peter and John saw, Lord. We want to connect. with the people around us, Father God. We're sorry that we're so busy so often, Father, and we miss it. We're sorry, Lord, that we're so self-absorbed so often and we miss it. And Lord, we pray that we would live an others-centered life. Just help us tomorrow, Lord. Help us the rest of today. Never mind in 3 months, but help us today, tomorrow, this week, Father, to put on your love, to see the needs around us, Heavenly Father. We pray for that gift of your Holy Spirit that we would care, that the love of Christ would constrain us. Lord, that the love of God would so fill your church that, Father, that we would be full of compassion as Jesus was. God, I pray that you would cause us to weep with compassion. I pray that our eyes would be a fountain of tears, O God, because that we'd be so touched with God's heart for the brokenness and the poverty and the needs and the everything around us, Lord, that we long to see touched by your grace. Father, empower us, we pray, with the Holy Spirit. Fill us, Lord. We have no strength on our own. We need your Spirit, the Paracletos of your Spirit, to come alongside us, Lord, and help us in fulfilling this great commission and this great connection, Lord God. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and activate your church in a whole new way. That, Lord, we would be about our Father's business. That, Lord, that we would be sons and daughters of the King of Kings. And I pray, Father, give us courage to share the journey with Jesus that we have with someone else. Or others, even over this week, Father. Give us the strength to open our lips. Give us the strength to practically reach out. And Heavenly Father, we pray that we would see both felt needs and spiritual needs, deep needs, the need for salvation met in people's lives. I want to pray, Heavenly Father, that you would give us that confidence in the Lord Jesus, that, Lord, it's the gospel that saves. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that draws people. And, Lord, I pray that this whole church family, I thank you that everybody here has the potential, because of your kingdom, to change whole communities. And, Lord, I pray that we would be the people of God that you've called us to be. In small and in big ways, Father, encourage us. I just want to pray encouragement and life and opportunity and strength over every one of your dear people here, Father God. And we pray together, we receive all you have for us this week, Father. Every assignment from heaven you give us, Lord, may we be saying yes, Lord. And I pray for many testimonies. Come, Holy Spirit, help us when we fail and when we mess it up to get straight back on with you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just choose in your mind now. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're not going to hear it and forget it. We're going to remember it. We're going to let it make a difference. We're not going to just be satisfied to be challenged. We're going to do something. And if that's you today, say, yes, Lord, I'm here. I'm available. Here I am, Lord, I surrender. I'm available to you. As for me, I will serve the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And just to close, if there's anybody here this morning and you've never given your heart to the Lord, you don't know the Lord Jesus, and you are like the man at the gate who doesn't yet know how loved you are, I'd just love to pray for you. And I'd love to pray with you now. And if you would like to give your heart to the Lord Jesus, just pray along with me now. And if you mean it in your heart, genuinely, then God hears and God answers. So, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I come with the need for Jesus in my life. Forgive me, Lord, all my sin. I turn away from everything I know is wrong. And I turn to you, Jesus. I put my trust in you. I believe in you. You died and you rose from the dead. And you did it for me. And Lord Jesus, today, I give you my heart. I give you my life. Please come in. Be Lord. I choose to follow you from this moment forward. I turn to you and give you the whole rest of my life. To help me walk with you. Help me to be more like you. And I thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you.